Open our ears, Lord, that we may hear.
Yes.
Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see. Open our mouths, Lord, that we would proclaim your truth. Meet us now through your word that we might receive a word from your spirit and live by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One day I was nearly arrested. It's a good start, right? My boss brought me into his office and he claimed that I'd been stealing. I'd been stealing beer as a teenager. And I quickly defended myself, but he was adamant and sent me home, saying that I had done these things and I had robbed him, and he was thinking about how much I owed the grocery store that I worked in. I went home and I was in tears because I knew that I had been always very careful about the things that I bought from the store and paid for, and was very frustrated. And my mom greeted me at the door and I told her what was going on, and she shepherded me through this moment. My niece was home that day with a fever, and she handed my niece to me, and she said, "Go take Sharon into the other room and just breathe." So I did. There's nothing like a child in your arms burning from a fever that makes you more aware of vulnerability and brokenness, and I was feeling it at that moment. And my mom came in the room, and Sharon was asleep but still feverish, and she said, "Did I ever tell you the story about hugging a tree?" I was like, oh, here we go, another Millie-ism. My mother was full of Millie-isms. And I said, "I don't recall." And she said, "Well, there was a guy, typical guy, he would come home from work and he'd hug the tree out in front of his house, and the next morning he'd go and hug the tree again and go off." I've said this before. Some of you might recall this story. And he did this forever. And the neighbor finally said, "Hey, Stan, you got a great, really nice family, white picket fence, a beautiful house, a beautiful wife, great kids. But what's with the tree?" He said, "Well, Frank, I learned a long time ago that I need to leave my problems somewhere and not bring them home, so I hug the tree. And I just leave my problems. As I'm coming home from work, I leave them there, and I pick them up in the morning the next day." And then he says to his friend, "But you know, the weird thing is, when I pick them up the next morning, some of those problems are gone. Some of those problems are on their way to being solved. And some of those problems I pick up and I start over the next day, knowing that at some point they'll resolve." And my mom looked at me and she goes, "You know that tree is Jesus. Leave your problems at the foot of the cross." Every day, every Sunday, we do that. We send all of our problems to the cross of Christ. It comes out of the Kenyan rite that we were associated with and love, and it's just a beautiful expression of what we need to do to get perspective. We need to send our problems to the cross of Christ. We need a good shepherd, don't we? Today we celebrate on Mother's Day a great thing. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. There's good news there. The good news is all of the humanity, all of the brokenness, all of the stuff that we drag around, the stupidity that we stumble into, is already forgiven in Christ. Now, this is not a proclamation, as some have quoted Martin Luther to say, "Sin boldly, that grace might abound." No. Our job is to be able to start again. And start again and start again in our humanity to lay those things down. If you're a mother sitting here today, or you're a daughter sitting here today, and you received a rose and the first thought in your head was, "Oh boy, I don't deserve this," I wash that off you in Jesus' name. That is not the Lord speaking to you. You are a beautiful creation of His. He longs for you to see yourself the way that He sees you. So we get these pictures from Scripture. And today we hear from the book of Revelation this amazing scene. John is writing from an imprisoned state. He's writing about this vision that he's seeing. And he said, and after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could count. Now, wait a second. I thought it was only 144,000. We have these things that we get hung up on, and it stops us from hearing what we're really seeing. It has nothing to do with the number. It just says there are so many, they can't be counted. And that should stand in contradiction of any number that was given. Those numbers were given from Hebrew numerology to represent something even way bigger than that actual number could be. Most people at that time in the first century didn't have a mindset of what 144,000 looked like because they'd never been in the Colosseum with 144,000. I don't know how many the Colosseum could seat, but you understand that that was a benchmark, not an absolute. And here in the book of Revelation, we see these images of the people gathered around the throne in worship. Imagine a massive choir composed of singers from every nation, tribe, and language, each voice unique, different accents, tones, and styles. First thing that comes to mind is absolute chaos, right? No. In heaven, under the leadership of our shepherd, the sound is just beyond anything that we could ever see. Just like the numbers that we can't count, we can't even imagine how heavenly and beautiful that sound would be. And we get to experience it firsthand. At first, we think it's chaotic, but under the skilled direction of our Lord, it is harmonious. It's praiseworthy. And it doesn't end. I'll tell you, if you're not a person who grooves on contemporary Christian music and you think of it not ending, you would say, heaven is going to be boring. I couldn't handle it. It's like fingernails on the chalkboard. But the beauty of the sound that God is creating with all of these nations, all of these sounds, is that the awe of that coming together will captivate every heart. Every heart beyond our limitations, beyond our stylistic likings, beyond anything that we could say, I really like Chris Tomlin, and other people would say, I really dig Beethoven. Doesn't matter. Because it will speak to all of us. We'll be unified hearing this voice. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, we heard today, we see a multitude of every nation all worshiping together before the throne with diverse backgrounds. We're all unified in worship, demonstrating the true unity that's found in Jesus Christ. It just absolutely draws our hearts all together. Think of it this way. Shepherding is one of those things that when I was a kid growing up in Woodbury, Connecticut, I worked on a sheep farm with some friends. And I always thought sheep were really dumb. They just seemed to wander off, and they'd step in things they shouldn't step in, and they'd get themselves caught in barbed wire, and they'd walk off a cliff if they saw green grass somewhere. And it was all true. But the second that Mr. Harmon spoke his voice and called the sheep, they moved. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. In parts of the Middle East today, shepherds will gather and they'll show up in places where they'll bring their sheep with other shepherds and other sheep. Now you would think, that sorting process has just got to be like kids on a playground. It's like herding cats. It would be a terrible thing. But for the fact that sheep know their master's voice, they speak up from a particular direction and the sheep follow. And it's a vision to watch as these sheep separate to their various groups and follow their master. That's what it means for us to be like sheep, true followers of Christ, distinctly knowing the Father's voice and following him. How do we do that? If that's the illustration this morning from the gospel lesson, how do we do that? What is God calling us, you and me, as believers? This isn't some holy guilt trip. This is just simply the logical outworking of our faith. How do we hear the Master's voice? We have to go to the source of how he speaks to us, right? His Holy Spirit speaks to us all the time. General revelation. We see him in nature, in sky, in beauty, in all things living, in tiny little creatures. We see the majesty of his handiwork. We see it in Scripture, special revelation. We understand that he sent us a message that we should receive and know and hear and follow. Is that always true? Think about the word that we heard from Acts today as Paul is preaching in the synagogue. The people of God had heard this message spoken again and again and again and again from their pulpit, and yet they had spiritual blindness. They had spiritual deafness. They couldn't see, hear, or receive, or act upon the things that were right there in front of them. Like sheep, I would say, they're up against the fence saying, "This is really bad." Right? And we who are logical people would say, "Turn around. Turn around. There's a whole field behind you. It's all green." They're obsessed with the fact that they've got a boundary, a fence. And I'm making this analogy for you. You are the sheep, and you're frustrated with the boundaries in your life. But if we would turn around and see what God has provided for us, see the open field and the green grass, hear the shepherd's voice, and follow, we would be joyfully frolicking in his goodness rather than lamenting the things that hem us in. You see, when our parents told us or taught us, our mothers guided us and said some things that were hard for us to receive, those gentle no's, it was for our own good, that we might walk in a way that would be best for us. Not always were our mothers or fathers correct, but the fact of the matter is, most of the time they were saying something for our better living. A tourist once visited a sheep farm and asked the shepherd if he could try calling his sheep, and the shepherd agreed, and the tourist called out loudly to the sheep. They didn't move. But mimicking the shepherd's voice, the tourist tried again. They didn't move. But when the real shepherd spoke, they moved. You see, when we have other voices speaking into our lives, there are little red flags that we need to pay attention to. There are theologians and preachers and teachers who say things sometimes that are from their flesh. I say things sometimes from my flesh. I want you, as your pastor, as your shepherd, to check it with the Word of God. There's the standard. There's the immovable truth. If it doesn't line up with the Scripture, you come see me in my office and sit down and say, "Pastor, I think you are out of line in this." And I will be the first one to say, "I pray, I'm sorry, I was wrong." Because that's my standard as well. I want to teach you from the truth of Scripture. I want the real shepherd to stand forward and his voice to be heard. We don't need any more fake news, right? Imposters in our lives. We don't need any more confused messages. I love the image of a newborn lamb. A newborn lamb on a farm is often taken just like a baby is and coddled, loved, fed, nurtured, cleaned, blessed. The shepherd would hold it and feed it and speak gently to it day after day. Over the time, the lamb would know the shepherd's voice because it was always there, protecting, blessing, encouraging, cleaning, even when those little lambs were frightened or lost. You see, that happens for us when we are walking with Christ in our relationship with Him. It deepens as we come to know His voice, as we listen to His word. Did you know? Has it gotten through your skull yet? It hasn't gotten through mine always. God is crazy about you. Francis Chan wrote a book recently, or probably recently, like 10 years ago maybe, called Crazy Love. And it's about God's love story with His people. He wants to get through to us that He loves us, that He would do anything for us. The reality is that when we're in the noise of this world, you would think that we can't hear the Master's voice. But if we were at a concert together, all of us, and I yelled out, "Hey, St. Luke's!" People go, "Where's Dan? I just heard his voice." Because you've heard my voice enough. And I am a shepherd, and I'm not the good shepherd, but I am a shepherd pointing you to the good shepherd. And my prayer is that you would be so nurtured in his word and listening to his spirit that there wouldn't be any doubt when his voice gets heard of who's speaking to you and why they're speaking. Today we've been given some illustrations, some vivid pictures, and there's one or two that really stand out to me. One is that during the American Civil War, a young soldier's uniform would typically be stained with blood and mud, beyond recognition. But when he was honored for bravery, he would often be given a clean, white, ceremonial coat to wear for the ceremony, covering all the stains, all the dirt, all the grime of battle. You see, for you and I, when we hear that the saints have gathered around the throne in Revelation 7, verse 14, they described all who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of a lamb. It's antithetical. It's an oxymoron to say we have been made white in the blood of the lamb. You've gotten blood on yourself, right? I had a head wound when I was in Boy Scouts once, and I came out of the woods and watched all these scoutmasters go, because it was just so, head wounds bleed a lot. And blood is not something that you think of that gets cleaned up. But the illustration was to show us, we know what blood looks like. But when washed in the blood of the Lamb, the clear, pure, red blood that we receive every Sunday from His hand, we are made clean, completely. Not with reserve sins, not with special dispensations to hang on to those things that are more comfortable, but God wants to come and scour us. I had a picture of the first night that I was on duty for clinical pastoral education here at Akron General. I was at Trinity School for Ministry, and my CPE course was here at Akron General all summer long that summer. And my first night, there were two things that really got my attention. One was a gunshot wound, and the other was a motorcycle accident. And for the motorcycle victim, there was just absolute road rash in his leg and on one arm. And I watched as the nurses tended to the wounds, and they literally went with a wire brush in those wounds to scrape out the asphalt and the stuff just so that they could have a clean wound to begin to start the healing process. God doesn't care how awful and what we want to hide of the wounds in our lives. He wants to come in and scour them out and work on them so clearly that there's no possibility for infection. There's no idea that it's going to linger longer than it needs to. Those things only happen when we take control of our own stuff. Kristen likes to say to me, typically because I'm breaking this rule, that the person who is not sick gets to make the decisions. Because often I will say, I'm not so bad. It's only a fever of 104. No big deal. I'll be fine. Not so. Hearing the shepherd's voice is something that we need to get into the habit of. If we recognize that only the shepherd is the one that can call the sheep, then we need to get to know the shepherd so that when the Lord calls, we can respond. Just as those sheep who'd recognize the shepherd's voice, we're called to recognize the shepherd's voice of Jesus. And as we heard, there's a gift that we receive when we follow, right? That gift is a gift of salvation. It is about God giving us hope in Jesus. Paul spoke to it in Acts chapter 13 today. He stood before an audience of Jews and he said, the salvation that you have been looking for, that have been preached to you regularly, the hope of your heart, even if you are an absolute pagan, the hope of our hearts is that something will intervene. Someone will love us despite our brokenness. And we know that that one is Jesus. Despite our limitations, Jesus answers the promise. He brings the good news and he fulfills in us and our children by raising Jesus from the dead that answer of salvation. When we hear the Lord's voice fulfilling the prophecy of old, we hear God saying to us, the story can only make sense in one man. The stories of the Old Testament that have been spoken again and again are stories of hope, but now are fulfilled in Jesus. And if we don't understand him, we miss what Jesus wants us to hear. In the vision that John gave from Revelation chapter 7, John describes the multitude from every nation. These are the ones that come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And the voice of the Lamb who's the shepherd, leads them to springs of living water. Could you use some living water today? Could you use some refreshment and encouragement? Do you like it when you receive blessing? We need to hear the shepherd's voice loving us that way. Salvation is not limited by geography, ethnicity, background. It is the promise of to all who hear and follow the shepherd's voice. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's the message a lot of churches put on their signs. Don't miss out. God's got a message for you today. And what we need to do often is not just say, don't miss out. We have to say, I didn't miss out. I've received a grace that I didn't deserve. And I want you to receive that too. Will you come with me to church? Will you come with me to Alpha? Will you come with me to men's group? Will you come with me to a women's group? Would you join us for the marriage course? Because we want them to receive what we've received. And guess what? We need to also put in that proclamation the fact that we forget. We may say that we've received the fullness of Christ, but we forget. We leak. Terry Fulham used to say, you know, the funny thing about cracked pots is they leak. And we're all a bunch of crackpots. In John's gospel today, there's an assurance of our salvation because Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. No one can snatch up the sheep from Christ's hand. There's a security. It's not based on our strength, but on the shepherd's promise. God will not let you fall into the enemy's hands. So the questions that we need to ask ourselves to answer today in his scripture is, do you feel secure? Do you trust the Lord? Are you confident in your salvation? Do you hear the shepherd's voice? If the answer to all of those or some of those questions are or no, or maybe not, then I want to pray for you. In closing today, I want to pray that God will give you the ability to soak in his word, to listen, to spend some time in your day in quiet. Maybe it's 3 minutes, maybe it's 5 minutes, whatever you can carve away, some quiet just to say, Lord, would you speak to me now? Write down those things that you think he might say. It might be saying, even if you think you're a little bit crazy, because he will affirm those things that are of his voice. He'll show you how those things have come to be. And those other things, they'll just disappear. Because as you get closer and closer to God, you'll be able to hear his voice more and more and more. The call in this scripture today is for us to come to the shepherd who knows us and loves us and laid down his life for us. So I'm going to pray for you right now. If you'd receive it, that God would meet you in those doubtful places and he would fill you with assurance. Let's pray. Father, today I hear your voice speaking for the people of St. Luke's. And anyone listening online today, we just ask, Father, that you would make it clear to them how much you love them. And where we have doubts about our salvation, Lord, where we are unsure about our security in Christ, if we're not sure what voices we hear, whether it's the shepherd's voice or someone of the world or someone of the flesh, we just ask, Father, that you would make it clear. We submit ourselves to you. And as the shepherd of this flock, Lord, I pray your blessing over my people, that they would see and hear and know and receive the truth that you have for them, that you would lead them without fear throughout their lives, and that they may find themselves secure in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.